You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Our strategy is a great strategy. It's a city strategy. That if we impact the cities of the world, and if we impact the city we live in, that we can make a difference upon the entire culture. That we can use our influence within the cities to make a difference for Christ. You know, that's what Paul did. He went to Athens. He went to Thessalonica. He went to Ephesus. Paul went to Rome. He went to the influential cities because he knew that was the place that if he made an inroad and he made a difference, and if God got a hold of the cities, then God could do some incredible work. Even this month's Texas Monthly magazine, the cover of it is about big city Texas. That 85% of us in Texas live in cities. We're known to be thought that we drive horses to work. But we really live in cities, most of us. And if God can impact the cities of the world and our nation in this city that we live in, then God can make an amazing difference. His name was Z.N. Morrell. He was the first pastor of our church. Came from Tennessee to Texas, and he said this, "Houston in 1837 was a tent city. Only one or two log cabins appeared. John K. Allen's frame building was raised and covered and partially weatherboarded. A large round circus tent used for drinking as a drinking saloon, and there was plenty of John Barley corn and cigars. This was the last Sunday in March, which will be Easter Sunday for us, and the launch of Cypress and Siena. After changing the garb of a wagoneer for one similar to that worn in the city, I went out in search of a place to preach. Upon inquiring, I was informed there had never been a sermon preached in the place." He went out in search of a place to preach in our city of Houston, and he found out that there had never been a sermon preached. That's who we are in our legacy of our church. We are searchers. We are seekers. We go out, and we're trying to find the place where the sermon's not been preached. We're not just waiting to be invited somewhere. We're going forward and stepping forward in a way to say, "Lord, we're going in your name and your power and your strength with the great commission as the wind in our sails to go, therefore." And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is a theme verse of everything that we've been thinking about. I want you to hear this verse. We're going to put it on the screen so you can see it as well. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is what it says. Acts 1, verse 8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts, the ends of the earth. For you will receive power when" what? You got good preaching? No. "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, the city, in Judea and Samaria, the nation, and to the ends of the earth." That's the whole thing of Mission 1-8. And as we look, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, and in your workbooks, if you'll turn to the very last page, the very final cover page there, that's where we're going to take notes. Acts chapter 5, in the very last page. With this behind us is our history of Z.N. Morrell going out to be the first one to ever preach a sermon in the city of Houston. We're going to see here that God is going to use what's happening in the book of Acts. We've seen in Acts chapter 4 that the people were tremendously generous. They sold their possessions and they laid them at the apostles' feet. They were generous. Then they released. They let go. It was laid at the apostles' feet. Then the apostles that represented the church at that time then distributed it. And they sent it out, and they were using it all forth. This whole book that you have is about the distribution of where all of this is going to go and about how God's leading us to take this out. So then we saw last week that Ananias and Sapphira, that they lied before the Lord. They lied to God, and they literally dropped dead. But Barnabas was an encourager because he encouraged with his generosity. We talked about it. It's a scary verse of Scripture. Don't lie before God. Don't lie to Him. Give Him your best. Give Him your absolute best and say, "Lord, it's yours." It's not that they couldn't have things for themselves. It's that they lied to God and they acted like they were doing something that was a sacrifice that really wasn't. And then we get into chapter 5. And in chapter 5, we'll find in verse 12, what happens after this generosity? What takes place? What's this ministry that takes place? Verse 12, many signs and wonders were being done among the people through the hands of the apostles. So miracles are happening at the hands of the apostles. By common consent, they would all meet in Solomon's colonnade. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people praised them highly. Verse 14, believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers, crowds of both men and women. We'll read a few more verses in a minute. But we see here something takes place. Crowds of men and women, numbers and numbers of people start coming to the Lord. Their generosity equals great impact. Generosity equals great impact. They stepped forward and they gave. They laid at the feet of the apostles. And as they laid it at the feet of the apostles, then it was distributed. And when it was distributed, it went out and it led to great impact. Miracles were taking place because of the hands of the apostles. People were gathering together for worship in Solomon's colonnade. And they were gathering together to declare the greatness of God. See, it's a real interesting scripture. As I started thinking about this, in verse 14 it says, believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers. Crowds of both men and women, not just men and women. Do you know the greatest thing for women's rights was Jesus Christ? It's the greatest thing for women's rights. And men and women came to faith and they're worshiping there together. What an amazing sight. Now, if you were to go back, if you're taking notes, I think you'd find this interesting to write down. Write down Acts chapter 1, verse 15. Acts 1, 15. In Acts 1, verse 15, there's 120 people. That's how many believers there are, 120 people. Acts 1, verse 15. In Acts 2, verse 41, 3,000 are added. That's big time, isn't it? It goes from 120 to 3,120. So Acts chapter 2, verse 41, 3,000 are added. In Acts 4, verse 4, 5,000 believers now. Now there's 5,000. Do you see it growing? Now, in Acts chapter 5, verse 14, what we just read, believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers. They lost count. Isn't that great? From 120 to 3,000 added to 5,000 believers to all we could say is there's men and women here. We can't even count anymore. God has done an amazing thing. The growth of Christianity, one man in the second century said this. He was an apologist declaring the truth of the Christian faith. He said this, we are everywhere, Christians. We are everywhere. We're in your towns. We're in your cities. We're in your army. We're in your navy. We're in your palaces. We're in your senate. We are more numerous than anyone else. Now, that's not some type of land grab, takeover, we're in charge, we're the bully on the block. Now, no, that's saying that God is doing his work as he's infiltrating, going from 120 to then a couple hundred years later, that they're everywhere, all over. The verb is that they kept being added. They kept on being added. It was a present tense, progressive, continuing. That's who we are as a body of Christ. We continue to reach out and declare what God is doing. One of our other pastors, his name was James Huckins, and this is what he said in our history book about our church, the first thing written about our church, the purpose of this church, the purpose of forming an evangelistic church, so we reach out. Then he says this, after he was just about to leave Houston, he said, the night before I left Houston, I took tea with the company of five persons, four of whom were so much affected with their sense of sin that they could not eat. In this city for the past 2 weeks, I have done nothing else than go house to house, shop to shop, conversing with people about their souls. The ablest lawyer in our city is prostrate in the dust and crying for mercy. For several days, he has laid aside his business and every care but the care of his soul. Unbelievers are beginning to waver and careless are seeming ready to consider, and men who have not entered the sanctuary for years are now seen there. I talk to every man who comes my way, and as of yet, I have not been repulsed. God doing his work in our city. God doing his work in our world. God making a difference through us. What an amazing thing. Turn to page 52 of your book. Turn to page 52 of your book. And I just want you to flip through what we're talking about here with the world. Page 40. Here it talks about in East Asia what we're going to do. There's a couple places down there, Bible translation. Do you know if we never did anything else but translate the Word of God into somebody's native tongue, we've done plenty. It's amazing what we can do, how God can use it. The next page of Madrid, Spain, how God's going to use us to plant churches there and help the mother church that's planting the church that's going to be there. Amazing thought of what God's going to do. Rio de Janeiro, to be able to plant and to make a difference there. We want to make a difference in the world. God is at work in the world, telling the story of God and the story of Christ, lifting it out, going further, saying, let's tell everybody that we come in contact with and let's take it to the entire world. So our city, yes, our nation, and also to the world, to all the images that we saw in the video. Well, how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by combining the upper story of God with the lower story of man. Many of us, we see our finances, and what do we see them as? We see them as lower story, mortgage, car payment, rent, shopping, all these lower story things. But when we combine the upper story of what God is doing in the heavens with the lower story of what we've got going on earth, then we get the first button right on our shirt. We get the right order. Do you remember the Lord's Prayer? What did he say? On earth as it is in heaven. What's he doing? He's saying, let the lower story be like the upper story. We want to be what you are doing, God. That's what we want to happen. So Mission 1-8, we're asking the question. We're saying, what if all of us jumped in, and I'll show you a little bit more. If we all jumped in with the ministry of the church, the existing ministry of the church, and we all jumped in and we said, we're giving, we're going to give more, we're stepping up. Well, if that happens, now we have laid out a dream of what could happen with $15 million more. Now maybe we'll surpass it. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Be amazing. But if we all step in here and we combine and realize, yes, God knows what's going on. I know tomorrow you could get fired or you could get a raise. I know there's terrorism all over the place. But God wants to combine the upper story and the lower story to say, I've got you in my hand. And I want you to lay down at my feet. I want you to lay at the apostles' feet in a sense. I want you to give to me and to give to the work so that the eternal story and the earthly story is the lower story for you trumping the upper story. Oh, peace in your life comes when the upper story trumps the lower story. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. That's upper story getting credit, isn't it? So we've been looking, and this actually is on page 52, so you can turn to page 52. We've been looking at this ladder, and we've been asking the question, what would happen if we all jump in and we got more generous? What would take place in this? So we've been looking at this, and this has been, God's been using this. He's been using this in great ways in our lives to say, what's the next step for us? We've been seeing some amazing things happen. Let me give you a couple thoughts on what's been happening. And then I'll walk you through the ladder. Here's some neat things that have been taking place, and I hope this really fires you up. We had last week, 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, whatever it was, Wednesday or so ago, we had a time where leaders and volunteers and whoever wanted to come could come, and they could put their commitment card down. We had about 319 people, family groups, not people. We had probably 800 in the group, but 319 that came as a family, and they laid their commitment card down. Do you want to hear something amazing? 22 out of 319 were absolutely brand new givers to Houston's First Baptist Church. They'd never given to the ministry of the church. Let's applaud that. That's amazing. Stepping forward to say, I've never been a part of this, but I want to be a part of the upper story, not just the lower story of tires and batteries and clothes and groceries. In that, one family multiplied their giving 220 times from what they were giving. From $200 in the past 2 years to $44,000 in the next 2 years. Another family multiplied their giving by 20 times, going from $800 to $16,000 for the next 2 years. There's also another family multiplied it by 10 times, from $100 to $1,000. Another family from 3 times, from $35,000 over the last 2 years to $100,000 in the next 2 years. See, this whole thing is about us, our total giving for 2 years to look at this next year and the next year. What is our all in, everything that God is calling us to do, giving to that so that we could say, here's what we're going to do with this. Here's what God has brought in. Some of us have never been taught, please receive the teaching of the Lord. that God wants you, he says in his word, test me and see if I'm not faithful and if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour it out, pressed down, shaken up, and pour it out in your lap. That God wants to do great things. One man said this, my wife and I come from a humble, simple background. My parents are from Mexico and came from Mexico to the U.S. at a young age as immigrants looking for a better life. They not only found a better life in America, but they also found Jesus. I remember my parents skipping meals so my brother and I could eat, but no matter how much the bills piled up, they gave what little they had to church every week and continue to do so this day. My wife and her parents also came from Mexico looking for a better life. They endured a similar hardship. The first couple of years in this new country required the help of a missionary. And their mission, this mission served my wife's family very similar to how our faith center provides clothes and food and furniture. Let's just say that she felt like royalty the first time her parents were able to buy her clothes at Walmart. Just because you were born, though, into a certain situation does not mean God cannot get you out of it. Today, we both have master's degrees, and we are financially stable, and we have way more than we could ever imagine. This is members in our church. We are extremely blessed to have grown up the way we did because we know firsthand the kind of impact the vision of Mission 1-8 can have on a life. My wife and I are honored to be a part of Mission 1-8, not because we are going to give not only because we are going to give more towards the church than we have in the past, but because Jesus has allowed my wife and I to come full circle. Isn't this beautiful? From being one of those who received love from and help from missionaries, to now being one of those who help spread love in the name of Jesus to our city, our nation, our world. Explanation point. Dios bendiga siempre. God bless you always. God is at work. What's he been stirring in your heart? What's he been stirring? For some, they jumped in first time. You know what? I've been keep giving excuses back and forth, and we all got our excuses. I'm in. I want to be a part of something eternal, not just tires and batteries and electricity and such. The occasional giver moving to the intentional giver, saying, you know what? I'm going to go every 2 weeks or whenever I get paid or however I get paid. Some of you are on variable incomes. It's a business deal here and there to be intentional. When that comes in, how does that go? You've made a commitment to your mortgage. You made a commitment to your planning of your car. To plan and say, Lord, what will it be? How do you want me to plan with your things as well? To move from intentional that every 2 weeks that there's a certain percentage place that's there to tithing, to be able to say in the first 10% of my income, I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm giving that to you, God. We've all been praying about a number. Can I tell you this? I want you to go through a little exercise with me. Think about what you make in a year. What's your annual income in a year? Just get that number in your head. If you don't, you have kind of a volatile income. What's kind of your, you know, you kind of think this is probably what's going to come in this year. Get that number in your head. Now remove a zero, and that's now your tithe. Just take a zero off. So if it's 50,000, you take a zero off, that's now 5,000. If it's 100,000, take a zero off, that's 10,000. So that's a tithe. That's what that means. You just simply remove a zero from your annual income. I want to challenge you that if you are not tithing, that this would be your faith step moment today. That would be your place when you fill out in just a moment our commitment card that we'll all share together. When that happens, you'd step forward with that tithe for the next 2 years. So yeah, take it, multiply it times two, and then you get over the next 2 years. But that you would make that step from here to here. If you've been wondering about your number, that might just be your number. Take that before the Lord and say, God, is that the deal? Is that what you want? For others, it's to move from tithing to extravagant, and some from extravagant to extravagant. It's to be able to say, you know what, Lord? 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, should I give something to the Lord that costs me nothing? For some to truly feel it, then it has to be a 6 or 7 digit number. To say, Lord, this is out of my stored resources. This is out of we've been storing up in barns. We've got that land. We've got this money. We got this whatever. And you know what? We're giving it to something eternal. We're going to the upper story, and we're saying, Lord, we want you to do it. Their generosity brought great impact. It brought great impact. So what's the step for us? Even on the commitment card, we got little arrows, and we'll have you color in an arrow to say, here's the step I'm taking. To be able to declare in faith as you go, yes, this is awesome. This is what we want to do. And people have done it and gone before us. It's an amazing thing. See, generosity isn't something God wants from us. Hear it. Generosity is something God wants for us. Generosity isn't something God wants from you. Generosity is something God wants for you. So that then you can say, Lord, on the floor at the bottom of the ladder, that's financial stress. At the top of the ladder is financial peace. Look at what happens in the rest of this scripture, if you will, in verse 15. As a result, they would carry the sick out into the streets and lay them on the beds and the pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. Now, it doesn't declare that his shadow was a healing shadow. It just says that's what they were hoping for. Then it goes further and says that they're all healed, but we don't know how that works. I just didn't want you to get, you know, a little spooky kooky on that verse. Verse 16, in addition, hear this, and listen to our Mission 1-8. It's written right here. In addition, a multitude came together from towns surrounding Jerusalem. So the city is influencing the towns. The surrounding areas are looking to the city. And they come to the city, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And they were all healed. What an amazing thought. Here's your next point to write down, the last page of your workbook. Generosity equals growing impact. Generosity equaled great impact. Now we see generosity equaling growing impact. It's spreading outside of Jerusalem. Discipleship is going outside. We're going to see in the book of Acts, it's going to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth to finally here in Houston, Texas, here we are. Wow. Wow. God is using it and taking it. You know, growth causes us to stretch. A growing family causes stretching, doesn't it? A growing business causes stretching. Things that are alive grow. And when we step forth in growing impact, it causes us to stretch as well. And we say, I've been saying, if the number feels too right, too easy, it might not be God. Discipleship and stewardship are connected. I've seen my heart grow in missions as well. My heart grow in giving as well. These statistics that I shared with you about these people growing as well. God has been doing a great work. And I just ask you, how is he stretching you and growing you? For some of us, it is to step up to tithing. For some of us, it's to step up to extravagant and to say, Lord, I'm all in. I want the upper story to trump the lower story. I've been telling you a lot about the Red Book. So much that everybody wants to buy one. We only have like 20, okay? So we don't have them right now. We might get some more later on, but we don't have them right now. I want to tell you as we close, before we go to our commitment card time, I want to tell you my favorite part about the Red Book. You ready? It's my favorite part about the Red Book. The blank pages at the end. This is where the story is yet to be written. This is where I'm writing. This is where you're writing. This is Mission 1-8. This is Cyprus. This is Siena. This is downtown. This is other places that God leads us. This is the best place of the book. Our history leads us to our future. What we'll do is in a few moments, we'll have these red books, about 17 of them, all around the worship center. We'll have them downtown as well. We'll have them in the chapel as well. They will be opened up to the blank pages. And guess where we're going to lay our commitment cards? Right here on the blank pages that we're writing. I want every one of you to take your commitment card that you got in your bulletin when you came in. I want you to take that in your hand. I want you to look at that. We're going to walk through this just so you can understand exactly what has taken place. Then we're going to pray together. Then we're going to lay these down in the blank pages of the Red Book, and then we're going to worship together. So you're going to lay these down and go back to your seat. You're not going to head to Life Bible Study. Go back to your seat, because then we're going to celebrate as a congregation this holy moment that we have. If you don't have one of these, we've got them on tables, and there's folks that are in the aisles, and you just raise your hand, and they'll get you one. So you just lift up your hand, and they'll get you one if you need one. We want 100% participation. We want every single person, every single family stepping forward and saying, I want to be a part of the upper story. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. I want to get the first button right. If you were here on Wednesday night, We want you to participate in this as well, so you feel the joy of coming with the church. But if you'll just put a star in the right-hand corner that we know that you are already here on Wednesday night, that'll help us out. Here's what we're going to do. I'll show you a couple slides. The top part of this gives you a little worksheet. All of those little blanks at the top, not the highlighted box, but the top part that's not highlighted, that's just a worksheet for you. We don't need those digits. The most important digit for the church is that highlighted box. That's the most important digit. That last thing, my 2-year generosity commitment to Mission 1-8. That's a 2-year total. That's this year and next year. That's your tithe, and that's your over and above tithe. Whatever you're giving extra. That's not just the extra that you're giving. That's the everything, all in, all you're giving to the ministry of the church for the next 2 years. That's got to be very clear to us. All. That's what we're going to write down. The top part is a worksheet. What I normally give in a year. Think about that. What do you normally give in a year? My additional annual generosity commitment to Mission 1-8. If you're going and you're jumping to a place of tithing, then that's where you write down that salary minus 10 in there. Comes out to a total there, and you multiply it by 2 years because it's a 2-year commitment that then comes down to that total. Then thinking through stored resources. Is there out of some barns you've been storing up, and it's time to get that grain going to somebody that's hungry. And then you come down to that peach highlighted box. My 2-year generosity commitment to Mission 1-8, that's the 2-year everything in total. We want everybody to just jump in and go for it. And then we could say, Lord, I'm doing this in faith. Just a moment, we're going to pray together about that. Flip, if you will, to the back. On the back of the card, it's got some arrows. We'd love for you to just color in the arrow of what step you're taking. You don't have to do that, but that just would be really cool to just say before the Lord, I'm going from here to here. And you just color in with your pen that arrow. Maybe extravagant to extravagant, just make another arrow. That's cool. That's great. But to allow that to be an amazing thing. We're going to pray together. We're going to ask God together. We're going to stand for the orphan that can't stand for themselves together. We're going to stand for the person that's never heard the name of Jesus together. We're going to ask Jesus Christ, what is it? It's my 2-year all in, my tithe and then some all in for the next 2 years. That's what goes in that highlighted box. In a moment, I'll call you forward. Downtown, you'll be called forward as well. Chapel called forward. And that'll be the moment in which we'll lay this down in the best pages of the Red Book. Would you take your commitment card and hold it in your hand? If you're married, hold your spouse's hand with the other hand. And we're going to pray together. This is a holy moment. Then we'll give you time to fill that out and slip it in the envelope. It's completely private between you and the Lord. But let's pray. Jesus, we're coming right now. We're asking you, God. Holy Spirit, you would lay on our hearts the number that you want us to give. Father, for those that are not tithing, that they'd step up today. For those with stored resources, just lay that on their heart. Those that are givers, let them celebrate as they write down what they're giving and to see that, to celebrate what you're doing and also be challenged. Right now, Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to lay the number on our hearts, the 2-year number, to add to what we're already giving. Would you take this time right now, would you pray and ask God to lay that number on your heart? I don't know the future. You don't know the future. God knows the future. Lay that number on your heart. Pray about that. And begin filling out your cards as you're ready and as the Lord leads. You can talk with your spouse or whatever and pray together right there with a whisper of your lips. Take this moment. Fill this out. There's pens in the rack in front of you at the worship center, in the chapel. Go before the Lord in this holy moment.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.